97.9 FM, WCHL welcomes Jeff Danner, author of Common Science, on Chapelboro.com with his weekly insights. And now, here's Jeff on the WCHL Afternoon News.
Common Science with Jeff Danner of the Common Science blog on our website, Chapelboro.com, taking a hiatus for now from the blog, but every week showing up here on the air to talk about the latest in science issues. So good to have you here.
Thanks, Aaron.
And this week we're talking about the microbiome again.
Following an earlier column
on the blog, right?
Yeah. For people who don't know, my education is in chemical engineering, and we talk about those types of issues quite frequently. But over the last couple of years, I've gotten this fascination with the human microbiome, which the definition of that is the population of bacteria that live within our bodies.
Your family's good with that, right?
As is often the case, they've learned to tolerate my quirks.
There you go.
And so,
you have a scientist in the family. At some point, the phrase "tolerate the quirks" is going to be in there somewhere.
If it were only at some point, it's more frequent than that. Today's discussion is a response. Last week, there was a commentary, and I can't remember the person's name. Perhaps we can look it up. And she gave a commentary that was against raw milk.
Yes.
And the implication of the commentary, which I'll try to summarize quickly, was that she implied in her commentary that raw milk and people who are proponents of raw milk were just following some sort of unsubstantiated internet trend, and that there were plenty of risks to raw milk, and that there were no real benefits. And so I wanted to respond to that, because the issue of raw milk, as well as a whole host of foods, which I'm going to refer to as live culture foods. So those would be foods that still have living bacteria in them. Is part of a greater discussion of human health, and I think perhaps the central discussion of human health for this century.
I'm going to pause here and say that the commentator in this case was Colleen Bridger, who is Orange County's health director.
So, wow.
Yeah.
You picked
this topic for yourself.
Interesting. I love Colleen Bridger, and I love the Orange County Department of Health, and I think they do a variety of really great things. So, unfortunately, she and I need to disagree on this one.
Mm.
So let me explain why. As we've talked about, and I've written about, and if you want more detailed information on this, I highly, highly recommend you read a book by Dr. Martin Blaser. He's a professor at New York University, and he's the president of the Human Microbiome Project. So he knows a lot more about this than I do.
All right.
And so the central story of bacteria and the human body is just the basics. And I think some of these things I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I think these are important.
I mean, we
points.
Talked about the microbiome before, right, but people haven't necessarily listened to it.
Here's the key things to remember. Bacterial cells in your body far, far outnumber human cells in the body. And bacterial cells, on average, are more complex than a human cell. That means they have more genes in them. And the shorthand answer to that is the genes in your cells are the things that take action, that do things. And so, you know, the sum total of that discussion is that the bulk of biological activity in your body is being carried out by bacteria, and they've been in there ever since our species existed. So we've co-evolved in this sort of independent ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do harm to our bacteria, lots of things go wrong, and we'll talk about what goes wrong in just a moment. But let's talk about how we harm the microbiome. There mm-hmm. are really two key mechanisms. One is through the overuse of antibiotics that
right.
wipes out the species
that
are in there.
Yeah.
And then the other is the removal of live culture foods from our diet.
Mm-hmm.
Live culture foods could include raw milk, cheese made from raw milk, yogurt, and fermented vegetables like sauerkraut,
mm-hmm.
pickles.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing is today, if you go to the store, if we go down the hill to the Harris Teeter and you buy sauerkraut or pickles,
right,
they will have been pasteurized.
Yes.
So any of those bacteria that, in fact, do the work of making the pickles and making the sauerkraut will have been killed through heat treatment before mm-hmm. you eat them. And so through the combination of sort of wiping out our resident bacteria with overuse of antibiotics as opposed to very appropriate and necessary use of antibiotics, this is not an antibiotic screed.
Yes.
And removing them from our foods, we have a whole generation of people, or two generations of people, who have what scientists would refer to as a low diversity microbiome. That means that just the population of bacteria, there are fewer of them in total and fewer species.
Mm.
And this harms you in a variety of ways, but I just want to talk about the main one. And then we'll talk about how this pertains to raw milk. And so if you have sort of this ferment, but unintended word choice, of lots of bacteria churning about in your body, as is expected. Mm-hmm. Part of what happens is your immune system works hard through the use of a class of immune cells called regulator T cells. It kind of keeps things in check. So to think about it, this dynamic equilibrium that the body's been expecting. If the helper T cells and the immune system don't have to do that work because there's less bacterial activity going on, you become very susceptible to autoimmune diseases. And those include, in particular, the skyrocketing numbers of allergies mm-hmm. that are occurring that you read about all the time. And people listening to this know lots and lots of friends and neighbors and children of friends and neighbors who have a variety of allergies. Yeah. And this is certainly a key factor in that. Debate. It's also, there's an inflammatory response that we don't have enough time to go through that is key to the growth in obesity in the United States and the mm-hmm. rest of Western world. And so that's the basis of the harm by having a sort of a damaged or low diversity microbiome.
Right.
And the thrust of people who are trying to advocate for things like raw milk and unpasteurized fermented vegetables is to get those back into our diet.
Yeah.
In combination with having a more rational antibiotic use.
Right. So is there a way to get there without raw milk? Because I think I remember the commentary that that Colleen Bridger had last week, and I think it was, I can't remember if it was last week or like the very end of the week before, but raised some really good points about like the possible dangers of drinking unpasteurized milk.
And she has some good points. And then so let's talk about the risks of raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the milk coming out of, well, probably cow's milk, but it would also apply to goat's milk. When it's coming out of the cow, for the most part.
If you're tuning in to listen to the amended notice of allegations, by the way, we will have that coming up for you in a little while. I just felt this disconnect in the air.
After people
are tuning in, it's like, I'm going to hear about Bubba Cunningham. You will hear about Bubba Cunningham. But first.
Soon enough.
The microbiome.
The microbiome. now I've completely lost my thread. Well done, Aaron.
All right. So, getting to
okay. And so there are other mechanisms. There mm-hmm. are other foods that one could get. So you could have like culture foods without raw milk. But let's talk about the risks of raw milk. When it's coming out of the cow, generally speaking, not pathogenic bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
They get introduced on the way. And so raw milk got really a bad reputation starting in the 1800s during the Industrial Revolution when people came in together and they were processing milk in unclean rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a vehicle to transfer things like typhoid from person to person.
Right.
And so they started to pasteurize that, and it was a great public health benefit. Now, what you see today, if you look at the risks of raw milk, you're going to see things like salmonella, E. coli, listeria.
Right.
Okay. So those, again, aren't in the milk when it comes out of the cow. The raw milk is a good vehicle from transferring it from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it can be introduced through an unclean room. Most of those bacteria come from animal feces. So what I would say is raw milk, those three bacteria I listed are the same bacteria that you read about in other uncooked foods.
Right.
Right. That would include sprouts.
Yeah. Lettuce.
Peanut butter.
Or spinach.
Sprouts. And sprouts get a lot of focus because what happens is the bacteria grow in the water. And since the sprouts sort of form together
It's a good vehicle to collect
Between the strands of alfalfa sprouts, it'll stay wet.
Right.
And so, I'd say the risks of raw milk are very equivalent to the risks of sprouts and other areas. And so, there are two ways to address these types of risks. Mm-hmm. One could just eliminate, any of those uncooked foods from our diet, which we've done to an extent in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought people should understand, where the risks come from.
Okay.
And that, to my point of view, and again, you can hear me, maybe we could have Colleen Bridger in next week and we could talk about it together if she'd want to come in.
She's listening.
I completely respect her opinion.
Yeah.
I just wanted to offer sort of an explanation.
And it's not like you're necessarily
disagreeing
with each other, because what you're saying is, yes, there are risks to drinking raw milk, but there is a benefit, which is the additional bacteria that fill up the microbiome and then stave off obesity and allergies and things like that. So if we're not going to be getting that from raw milk, then where do we get it from?
We can get it from, again, right now, the only real prevalent option is yogurt.
Yogurt, right?
Yeah. Because almost everything else is pasteurized.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, this is part of a larger discussion about having a healthy diet and how to move forward.
Okay. So is part one of having a healthy diet to consume yogurt?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't particularly like it, but I know it's good
right,
for me.
Right, right.
this
portion of the program was for a minute brought to you by Yoplait.
Yeah. Well, even though I don't like it, you should go and eat it.
Yeah.
There is a part two to this discussion, but do we need to break for...
We may need to break here in just a minute, but we do. But I do want to get to part two of this discussion, because this is actually a really interesting point. So, we got a couple minutes left, and we'll take a break and then get back to the notice of allegations here.
Okay, so just I want to tell one other thing about bacteria. Now that you've been listening to me, and hopefully you're really interested and excited about bacteria in the body, someday, when I have time, like when there are 9 days in the week instead of seven, I want to write a book. And the book is going to be titled Bacterial Driven Evolution. Because your bacteria not only make you healthy, there are lots of influence on how we act.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take just a minute to explain how it is the bacteria are driving us to do these kind of odd things that humans do, like kiss and
like
hold hands.
Like kiss, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, get to the kissing, Jeff.
There we go. Well, soon enough. Soon enough. And so, oh, not the kissing part.
This is the end of the movie. He's into it now.
Yeah. So bacteria, just like humans, they need an exchange of genetic material to maintain sort of a robust amount of DNA, right? And so what bacteria need within your body is for new bacteria to come in from the outside world. And that can be through eating, kissing, holding hands. There's lots of exchange of bacteria when you have just human contact. And just talk about, this also explains why we like to be, hugged or have human contact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, there are also psychological explanations. I don't really know those. But what happens is the bacteria in your body sense that there's new bacteria coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so if there's a similar bacteria of the same species coming in from the outside world through a kiss or a handhold, then it can exchange DNA with the bacteria in your body.
Okay,
so that's how the bacteria within your body maintain a robust genome. And so, in addition, when they sense, I can't think of the right word. I don't want to anthropomorphize. That's why I have you here, the bacteria. But when that process is happening, other bacteria release chemicals within the brain that produce pleasurable feelings. Right,
so
they are. It is the bacteria. I mean, kissing is sort of a ridiculous thing,
yes.
right? I mean,
so what I'm hearing from you is that bacteria in our body are manipulating us
absolutely.
To want to kiss each other.
Yes.
Okay. So when people say that they are madly in love, that is actually true. They are literally being driven into doing insane and silly things by the bacteria in their brains.
Right. The bacteria in your brain is really excited that big bacteria from the person you're kissing.
This is why I wanted to get to this part of the common science.
Has slightly different chromosomes. And that's really exciting to them. And so they're going to try to make you feel good when you're kissing or holding hands or other intimate exchanges. I think
if you're feeling in love, if you want to kiss someone or hold their hand or engage in other intimate exchanges, resist. It is just the bacteria in your brain.
No, don't resist.
Don't resist, because you'll get a microbiome.
Your microbiome will be healthier and more diverse and happier if you engage in those sort of nice human activity.
This is the best common science ever.
Absolutely.
All right, but we got to let you go because we got to get to the Bubba Cunningham comments. But common science, again, with Jeff Danner. Visit the archives from the Common Science blog on our website, chapelboro.com. Next week, the showdown between Jeff and Colleen Bridger,
if we can get her on. Not a showdown. Again, greatest respect for Ms. Bridger and all the work that they do.
All right. Jeff Danner, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.